J.D. Mitchell here with another short informational recording on a creation science or biblical apologetics subject. Thanks for choosing to listen to this recording with the title, Dinosaurs and the Bible. Much of what I will be discussing in this talk is excerpted from the Guidebook to North American Dinosaurs According to Created Kinds. From a biblical genealogy, it can be determined that the worldwide flood at the time of Noah took place about 1656 years after the creation. The worldwide flood was a result of God's judgment on the evil of the world at that time, when the only righteous man left on earth was Noah. This cataclysmic flood caused most of the geology we find on the surface of the earth today, and is the reason we find fossils in the rock record, including dinosaur fossils. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, we are told that land animals were created on day 6 of the creation, and since dinosaurs are definitely animals, they too were created on day 6. God made man on day 6 along with the animals, and that leaves the unavoidable conclusion that man and dinosaurs lived at the same time for a period from day 6 up to the flood, and for some period of time after. Representative dinosaurs were placed on Noah's Ark along with the other land animals and were introduced to the new Earth environment after the flood. Most, if not all, of these dinosaurs have gone extinct in the approximately 4,500 years since then. Creationists have logical, biblical answers for most of the questions people have for the flood, the Ark, and the dinosaurs. You may, like other people, have questions about these things. So next I will discuss a few of the more common questions and provide appropriate, biblically-based answers. Question number one, how would there be room for all the dinosaurs on the Ark? Well, the answer to that is there were not all that many different kinds of dinosaurs on the Ark. Not all of these dinosaurs were large either, as the average mature dinosaur was probably about the size of a sheep. God brought the animals to Noah, and so could have selected younger ones that would have been easier to handle, would have taken up less space, used less food, and have been better suited to repopulate the earth after the one-year-long flood. It makes good sense that the largest representatives of all animal kinds would have been left off the ark. In addition, creation scientists have calculated that there would have been plenty of room for the land animals and birds on the huge 500-foot-long ark. Question 2. Why didn't the carnivorous dinosaurs and other carnivorous animals eat each other on the ark? Well, the Bible tells us there was food provided for the animals on the ark. In addition, God could have chosen less aggressive animals from the kinds that had become meat eaters since the fall, and or God could have either restrained them miraculously, perhaps by inducing a type of hibernation, or commanded them not to eat each other. Question 3. Why don't we see dinosaurs alive today? The earth was much different after the flood than before the flood. The dinosaurs were not able to adapt to the more severe environment after the flood, where there followed an ice age, many volcanoes, tectonic movements of the crust, dramatic weather extremes, deserts, swamps, canyons, and high mountains that probably did not exist before. As humans began to spread out over the earth after the flood, as directed by God, they would see the dinosaurs as food or as a threat to their safety, and would kill them as well as destroy the best dinosaur habitats. Therefore, the dinosaurs became extinct, kind by kind, over time. There's plenty of evidence from written historical records that a significant number of dinosaurs were seen by humans up through at least 1500 AD. Numerous animal pictographs and petroglyphs can be interpreted to show dinosaurs. In the Bible and in other early literature, the dinosaurs were called dragons. It is quite possible some dinosaurs are still alive today in remote areas of the earth, such as in deepest Africa. Question number 4. Why don't we find the word dinosaur in the Bible? Well, the word dinosaur was not invented by Sir Richard Owen of England until 1841, long after the first English translations of the Bible were introduced. Dinosaurs were called dragons in the early English translations of the Bible. For examples, you can find dragons in the King James Bible. You go to Nehemiah 2:13, Psalm 91:13, Isaiah 27:1, and Isaiah 43:20, Jeremiah 9:11, and Jeremiah 51:34, Ezekiel 29:3, Micah 1:8, and Malachi 1:3. In the book of Job, in chapter 40, is mentioned Behemoth, an animal whose description closely matches the long-necked kinds of dinosaurs. The common secular explanation that the behemoth of the Bible was an elephant or a hippopotamus does not meet the easiest of logical tests. Unfortunately, most English Bible translations that were published after the mid-1850s have been influenced by atheistic science and secular culture to translate the Hebrew word for dragon, tanim, as other animals such as jackals. Question number 5. Hasn't science proved that dinosaurs lived and went extinct millions of years ago? Well, the answer to that question is that the primary way we know that dinosaurs existed is through the fossils that have been found in the sedimentary layers of the Earth's crust. There are no dates of any kind on these fossils, no tags, no markers. No one is alive that was here when these life forms were rapidly buried in a watery catastrophe in order to be preserved as fossils. Those who wanted to reject the Bible and minimize the influence of the Christian church on the world had to make up a story for how these fossils came to be that rejected the biblical account, and so invented the evolution in millions of years scenario. With biblical presuppositions, it is very reasonable to explain the fossils as a result of the worldwide Genesis flood at the time of Noah. Remember, God was there when the fossils were buried, but secularists were not. Many people have developed opinions about Noah's flood without studying the considerable detail provided in Genesis chapter 7 through 9 of the Bible. Question number 6. Hasn't science proved that dinosaurs evolved from other animals and then evolved into birds? Well, the variation within kinds of extinct and living life forms can be extensive, as planned for by God when He designed life for planet Earth at the time of creation. However, true science has not found any example of one kind of life evolving into another kind, either fossil or living. These so-called transitional forms are purely in the imaginations of evolutionists. In fact, there is no true science that would indicate this sort of macroevolution is even possible. All life form adaptive changes over time seem to be limited by the information in the DNA placed in the kind at the time of creation. God created according to kinds, and the kinds have propagated with great, although limited, variety within those kinds ever since. It is very clear that information to allow one kind of life to change into another kind cannot come into being from the random interaction of matter or from genetic mutations. The Bible in Genesis 1:21 explains that God created birds on day 5, ahead of the animals that were created on day 6. So birds could not have evolved from dinosaurs. Birds already existed when the dinosaurs were created. Question 7. Isn't creationism just religion and not science? Well, the word science means knowledge, and the scientific method uses observation and repeatable experimentation to develop testable hypotheses and theories in order to come to tentative conclusions about the universe. When someone says that science must always reject the origin explanations in the Bible, they are in effect defining science as being confined only to the man-developed, God-rejecting philosophical view called naturalism. In naturalism, God is not allowed to be entered into any consideration for reality, no matter what the evidence indicates. No one was there at the beginning, except for God, and so neither evolutionism nor creationism are strictly scientific. That is, there is no scientific experiment any human can devise to test either hypothesis. Both perspectives look at exactly the same evidences, but with different and conflicting presuppositions, and that always results in different interpretations for the evidences. The creation science interpretations for origins are just as scientific, if not more, as are the interpretations provided by secularists. The advantage of creation science is that it is founded on the reliable word of the creator of everything, and not on the often incorrect speculations of fallible men. Question 8. I'm still confused about just what science is and what is not science. Can you provide me with some examples to help me understand this? Sure. I will list a number of activities that paleontologists regularly take part in as a part of their careers. For each activity, I will tell you whether the activity is true science or just philosophy. This listing is equally applicable to secular or biblical paleontologists. So let's go. First is prospect for fossils in the field. Well, that's science. Recover fossils from the Earth's crust. That's science. Prepare fossils for study and/or museum display. That would be science. Study and describe recovered fossils. Science. Publish descriptions of methods for recovering fossils. Science. Publish the geographic locations of fossils. Science. Publish the physical relationship of fossils to one another as discovered in the sediments. For example, preparing bone charts. That would be science. Publish the descriptions of fossils. That's science. Publish information on the variability found in recovered fossils. That would be science. Develop and publish tree of life charts. Now that's philosophy. Develop and publish cladograms for dinosaurs and other life. That's philosophy. Publish speculations about the origin of life forms found as fossils. Philosophy. Publish speculations about deep time. That too is philosophy. Question 9. You haven't explained radiometric dating methods. Hasn't it been scientifically proved the Earth is 4.6 billion years old and dinosaur fossils are over 60 million years old? Well, a complete explanation of all the radiometric dating methods and other uniformitarian dating methods is beyond the scope of this short audio. However, I will give you seven important facts regarding these methods that you may not know. Number one, the radiometric dating methods are based upon unproved and scientifically unprovable assumptions about the past. Number two, radiometric dating methods for millions or billions of years cannot be directly used for fossils because these methods are not applicable to the sedimentary rock layers wherein fossils are found. These methods are applicable to igneous, but not sedimentary rocks. Number three, secular paleontologists seldom use radiometric methods to establish the age of fossils. Usually they use index fossils and fossil correlation instead, since they have found that radiometric determined dates usually do not match up to the expected already established dates for the fossils. Of course, creationists have no reason to trust these methods as useful for dating rocks. Number four, the results for various radiometric methods do not match each other and never match up to the known ages of igneous rocks. For example, the igneous rocks that resulted from the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens in Washington State were radiometrically dated to be many orders of magnitude older than their actual age. Number five, the highly speculative ideas of uniformitarianism, evolution, and millions of years were well established long before any of the radiometric methods were developed. As the radiometric methods were developed, they were forced to fit within the pre-existing secular long ages paradigm. Number six, many uniformitarian dating methods, including radiocarbon dating, indicate the Earth is much younger than millions of years. A number of these methods indicate the Earth is less than 10,000 years of age. All of the methods that indicate a young Earth are philosophically, not scientifically, rejected by secularists and others who accept naturalism and an old Earth view. 7. Fairly recently, dinosaurs and other vertebrate fossils have been recovered with soft tissue inside the bones. Even original dinosaur proteins called collagen and elastin have been discovered in the bones. There is some indication that dinosaur DNA may still be in some bones as well. Secular science has no logical explanation for how any of these materials could last even 1 million years, let alone the 65 million years generally accepted by evolutionists as a time at which the last dinosaurs went extinct. And the last question is question 10. Did men really ride dinosaurs like Alley-Oop does in the comics? Well, the Bible does not mention anything one way or another about men riding dinosaurs or dragons. In the book of Job, Behemoth and Leviathan were described as wild beasts that would be difficult for anyone other than God to control. There are, however, a number of post-flood documents and artifacts that indicate men did at times have very close contact with dinosaurs. The dinosaur fossils extracted from the rock record have not provided information that would help us know whether or not dinosaurs could be tamed or domesticated. If you have more questions about dinosaurs and the Bible, you may want to obtain a copy of the aforementioned Guidebook to North American Dinosaurs According to Created Kinds. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and yours.